Lecture topic, the Denmark cartoon.
آخر فسوف يعلمون. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم اللهم حبب إلينا المدينة كحبنا مكة أو أشد أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, as a continuation to the topic of barakah and blessings, the hadith that I quoted before you, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made dua to Allah, اللهم حبب اللهم اجعل بالمدينة ضعفي ما جعلت بمكة من البركة. Oh Allah, the blessings and the barakah that you descended in Mecca, oh Allah, double those blessings in Medina. Oh Allah, whatever blessings you've sent in Mecca, double it in Medina. And we know the blessings that come upon Mecca, the place, the inhabitants, is as a result of the supplication of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. There were few du'as he made in favor of Mecca, and it was as a result of his du'as, the barakah, which was the focus of my previous talk. What did he say? رَبِّ جَعَلْ هَذَا بَلَدًا آمِنًا. Allah, make Mecca a safe place. وَرَزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Allah, provide the dwellers of Mecca perpetually with good fruit. And Allah responded to both those du'as by saying, يُجْبَى إِلَيْهِ ثَمَرَاتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. That the fruit of the entire world will be brought and exported into Mecca, so that the inhabitants of Mecca will eat as a result of the barakah and the blessings of the dua of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah also reminded the Quraysh, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا جَعَلْنَا حَرَمًا آمِنًا وَيُتَخَطَّفُ النَّاسُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِمْ. Don't they see the safety and the security they enjoy in the surroundings of the haram, yet see the hostility around Mecca, particularly in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah reminds them of these barakahs. Also, we learn from the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he says prior to Qiyamah, amongst the divine barakah, that Dajjal will travel the world. Dajjal will travel the world, and wherever he will travel, he will cause mischief and corruption. He will try to force his entry into Mecca, but somehow there will be angels that will be safeguarding and protecting Mecca, which will not give him access to Mecca, which is indeed a great privilege and virtue for the inhabitants of Mecca, that they will be protected because the Dajjal will not able to make his presence into Mecca. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma ja'al bil madina dhi'fi ma ja'alta bi makkata min al baraka. Oh Allah, whatever blessings you've sent in Mecca, double it in Medina. Then he became more explicit and he said, Allahumma barik lana fi thamarina wa barik lana fi sa'ina wa barik lana fi madinatina. Oh Allah, bless the fruits of Medina. Oh Allah, bless the harvest of Medina. Oh Allah, bless the corn and the grain of Medina. Oh my Allah, bless everything of Medina. Then he said, Allah, let us love Medina just as we love Mecca. Allah, let us love Medina just as we love Mecca. In fact, Allah, increase our love for Medina even more than Mecca. These are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the scholars have written because of that barakah. Now what I was saying previously, barakah comes, this divine blessings from Allah, it comes on certain conditions, it comes on certain amal. The riwayat of Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua, Allahumma barik lana fi shamina wa fi yamanina. Oh Allah, bless Sham and Yemen. Sahaba intervened and they said, qalu wa fi najdina ya Rasulallah. Oh Nabi of Allah, since seen you are making dua for divine blessings, you don't want to include Najd also, which is a province. Take that also, include it in your blessings. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam repeated his first dua. Allahumma barik lana fi shamina wa fi yamanina. Allah, bless Sham and Yemen. Sahaba said, oh Nabi of Allah, wa fi najdina. You don't want to increase that a bit more and include Najd in it. He said, hunaka zalazilu wal fitan. هُنَاكَ الزَّلَازِلُ وَالْفِتَنِ. You want me to make dua for barakat of Najd, I'm afraid earthquakes will take place there. And that will be the means of a lot of evil coming into existence. So I cannot make dua for barakat of that land. وَبِهَا يَتْلَعُ قَرْنُ الشَّيْطَانِ. And it is as a result, till today there are certain outstanding things of Yemen and Sham. You study the good that came out of these places because of the barakah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one famous hadith that we know of a great tabi'i by the name of Uwais, where whenever the delegation from Yemen would come to Medina, then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would ask them, Afikum Uwais ibn Amir, is there any person by the name of Uwais amongst you? And they would decline and say, no, And this continued till such a time came where a delegation had come, and amongst them was Uwais. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Afikum Uwais ibn Amir, is there a person by the name of Uwais? The Sahaba agreed and they said, yes, there is someone by the name of Uwais. So when Uwais was brought forward, he said, Anta Uwais ibn Amir, are you Uwais? He said, yes. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu then said, Mim Murad thumma min Qarn, you belong to the Murad tribe of the Qarn branch? He said, yes. He said, Kana bika barasun, you suffered leprosy and Allah cured you. He answered in the affirmative. He said, Alaka walidatun, you have a mother and you're very diligently obedient to your mother. He said, yes. Sayyidina Umar stood up and embraced him and said, listen, Uwais, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, فَإِنْ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَنْ يَسْتَغْفِرَ لَكَ فَفْعَلْ. Oh Umar, I recommend to you, if you ever see this man and you get the opportunity for him to ask Allah to forgive you, seize the opportunity. So I ask you, Uwais, on the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he had made dua for the people of Yemen. He had made dua for the people of Yemen. Sayyidina Umar then asked him, he made dua that Allah forgive Sayyidina Umar. Thereafter Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, where are you off? He said, I'm going to Kufa. So he said, Aktub ila amiliha, can I write a note to the governor of Kufa that he must see you well and understand your privileges? So he said, no, Umar, leave it as a secret. An akuna fi ghabara'in nas ahabbu ilayya. Wallah, I love to live discreetly. Nobody knows my reality. My Allah knows my history. I prefer that. Don't divulge it to anyone. Anyway, the next year when people came for Hajj, Sayyidina Umar asked him, you know Uwais? He said, yeah, I know him, but he's a simple, ordinary man in our locality, you know. We don't really give him much regard. He said, you don't give him much regard, when the Nabi of Allah explicitly told me I must ask him to make dua for me. So when this man went back to Kufa, he apologized. He said, you know, you're living in my neighborhood. I really did not appreciate you. Please make dua that Allah must forgive me. So when he made this request, Uwais says, it looks like you went for Hajj and you met Umar. It looks like you went for Hajj and you met Umar and he has divulged my reality. He left that place and went away. So what I'm saying is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua. He made dua for Sham, he made dua for Yemen. Today we are living in a time, every man wants to maximize his time. You know, what's that Bawan advert for people who have a 25 hour day? 25 hours, if you have 25 hours, one chocolate is telling you this is your chocolate, the other one is saying have a break, have a Kit Kat, we don't know which one to eat. Anyway, everybody is trying to take out more out of their time. And time management is essential. It is important, it is imperative. I was reflecting over one dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like one great scholar said it, the problem with us is we are not systematic. So simple things become difficult. Simple things. Now, backlog is a common thing. Backlog is a common thing because we haven't done things when we were supposed to do it. You reflect over the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the occasion of Arafat. What dua he taught us? Allahumma ij'al fi qalbi nura, wa fi sam'i nura, wa fi basari nura, wa an yamini nura, wa an shimali nura. Allahumma shrah li sadri, wa yassir li amri, wa a'udhu bika min wasawis sadri, wa shatati al-amri. Oh Allah, give me divine light in my vision, in my hearing, in every organ and limb of my body. Oh Allah, open for me my bosom and my chest. Then he said, Allahumma shrah li sadri. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ وَسَاوِسِ الصَّدْرِ. Allah, I ask thy divine protection from the whispers of the devil. وَمِنْ شَتَاتِ الْأَمْرِ. And Allah, save me from my matters being disorganized. Allah, let me never be disorganized. Let me be systematic in my life. And he also made dua to Allah. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن وأعوذ بك من العجز والكسل. Allah, save me from laziness. Allah, save me from hopelessness. So as Muslims, we need to be honored, we need to be respectful, we need to be dignified, we need to be diligent, we need to be committed, we need to be competent. Those are important things. But on a spiritual note, how do we maximize and how do we derive barakat from our time? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also made dua for blessings in time. But he had channeled it to an exclusive time. He said, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Allah, you bless the mornings of my ummah. Allah, you bless the mornings of my ummah. Hence, what can happen in the morning because of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will never happen at any other time of the day. Now, unfortunately, the time where Allah is study the life of every pious person, you will find his day starts by tahajjud. Study the life of every pious person and ask a person. A person who is punctual with his salah and commences his day with fajr. If one day he misses fajr, he actually feels that day is devoid of barakah. And to the brother who perhaps, and let me say this again. I swear by Allah, I find it inconceivable. It is beyond my faculty of comprehension that a Muslim can go by night to sleep and set his alarm deliberately to awaken after the sun has risen. I cannot relate to this. I cannot fathom this. I cannot understand. In other words, you're planning not to get up. I can understand you oversleep. I can understand someone tapped you, you did not respond. I can understand you had a restless night, you overslept. Those are human things. But you go to plan that I will not get up at the time of Fajr. This, wallah, Allah be my witness. I've said it openly. I've said it individually. My mind cannot digest, comprehend or relate to this. Forgive me if I'm crude. Now, to that brother who starts his day by 8 and considers his day blessed, I can only say you like a man who's driving a humble Toyota and considers this to be the ultimate in luxury. Drive a BM and you know what's luxury. Start with Fajr and you know what's Barakat, my brother. Start by the early part of the morning and see how Allah blesses your time. Divine blessings that will come from Allah. And that is what the morning, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Allah describes the condition of the Sahaba. Kanu qaleelan min al-layli ma yahja'un wa bil ashari hum yastaghfirun. They would respond in the early hours. And we have been encouraged in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ to break at midday, to have a siesta sleep. And even statistics prove, I mean, I read a brilliant article on truck drivers in America who break at midday and have that 15 minutes to half an hour sleep. The risk that they pose to drivers and fellow, citizens is much less as far as accidents, as far as road rage and many other factors. So there is the teachings. We start early, we break at midday, we have a bit of sleep and siesta, and then you see the barakah that Allah will put in your time. Now, relevant to the occasion as well, another thing that the scholars have mentioned to maximize barakah from our time, to increase the opportunity, one is look at the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we eat food. He taught us after eating any meal, Allahumma barik lana fihi wa zidna khayran minhu. Oh Allah, bless this meal and grant us better than that. Wa at'imna khayran minhu. And whenever we drink milk, he taught us to say, Allahumma barik lana fihi wa zidna minhu. Oh Allah, bless this drink and give us more of it. The reason for that is that milk has been considered to be the most nutritious drink for a believer, both spiritually, physically, even now with osteoporosis, it is said that if a person, which has become a common problem in society and so many diagnoses are taking place, the weakness of the bones, if there is sufficient intake of milk. Again, one brother I was telling him, I said that, Allah has kept so much cure in milk and the benefits of milk. So he says, Manana, unfortunately, clover takes out all the shifa and then they sell it to you. So that is the sad reality of the type of food that we consume. But nonetheless, the Prophet ﷺ said, oh Allah, bless what I eat. Oh Allah, bless. You study the dua of istikhara. After he says, oh Allah, if this deal is good, if this woman is good, if this venture is good, he concludes the dua by saying, Allah, let it materialize. But Allah concluded by your blessings. Allah wrap it up by your barakat. If it is, everything has come to the completion and the culmination. But if it is devoid of barakah, then the result is what we see today. In the midst of everything, we've devoid of it. The other point that the scholars have written to maximize the benefit is that we set our dates and we regulate our calendar by the Islamic dates. Now we take passion and pride in sighting the moon for Eid, which is good. It's in its place. But unfortunately, we consider that to be the ultimate. We consider that to be the ultimate. And there again, so many times, unfortunately, one brother was telling me there is a website, moonfighting.com. This happens. I was in America Ramadan and I seen it unfortunately. And I told them very nicely, I said, listen, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finished split the moon once, don't split the ummat. The moon was split by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are certain regulations and there are certain injunctions which we need to respect. So we need to sight the moon in its time. But we've been taught to sight the moon at every month and every lunar month. And we need to understand that Allah is in charge of the solar system as well as the lunar system. However, we've been encouraged that our dates, our meetings should revolve around Islamic dates. And we find that our calculation, a woman goes into iddat, this should be calculated according to the lunar calendar. 4 months, 10 days, according to the Islamic calendar. Allah speaks about the seven sleepers that slept for 3 centuries. Allah says, ثَلَاثَ مِئَةٍ سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُوا تِسْعًا. That if you calculate it from the lunar system, it comes to 309 years. On every century, according to the solar system, on every century, if you calculate it according to the lunar calendar, it will be 103. So 3 years extra. So they slept for 3 centuries, added 3 per century, which makes it 309. So there are subtle implications and exhortations, and scholars say this will give us barakat in our time. Now, let us reflect over something, you know, being the beginning of a new Islamic year. Have we ever reflected what commenced the origin of the Islamic calendar? How was it based? What prompted this year? If we study very briefly, during the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, in the 17th year of Hijrat, when Sayyidina Umar would write letters to his governors, then at that time the common practice was that dates were related to events. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in the year of the elephants. So it would say, you know, this child was born 2 years after the year of the elephants, or a year before the year of the elephant. So major episodes that took place, that would be symbolic towards dates. And this is how they refer to it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born days after the incident of the elephants. Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he told Umar that, oh Umar, you are communicating with us, but you are not corresponding with dates. And I think it's important that we start documenting ourselves and we have dates, so we can have some track and some history to this year. And in one narration it comes that they suggested at times we borrow money, we have to pay back. So if we have certain dates in place, as the Quran says, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَهِلَّةِ, they ask you regarding the moon. قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ وَالْحَجِ. Tell them by the system of the rotation of the moon, they calculate their days, their months, and hence they calculate the season of Hajj as well. So it is there for calculation purposes, that what the Quran makes mention about it. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu called up an immediate meeting and he said, this is very important and we need to start an independent calendar of our own. 4 opinions came forward. The first opinion is that our calendar should commence at the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that is the greatest day in human history, where the greatest human put foot on this dunya. The second opinion was that indeed his birth is great, but the real mission of his coming was his prophethood. So rather his prophethood mark the beginning of our calendar. The third was that indeed prophethood was great, but rather if we focus, one of the most significant things in the annals of Islamic history was the migration and the hijrat. And the fourth was, we commence it from the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These were the 4 opinions that surfaced and came forward. When this was brought, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu gave it length, gave it thought, reflected over it. He said, with regards to the first one, the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a splendid idea. However, there's difference of opinion on the precise day of his birth. Likewise, the date, the general perception is the 12th of Rabiul Awal, but this cannot be proven beyond doubt or beyond a difference of opinion. So there is a degree of debate amongst the scholars. Likewise, the day being Friday or Monday, there is debate. Hence, although it's good, but because of the contention that surrounds it, we will not opt for this. The same thing goes towards the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is debate on its precise day. With regards to the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is a very sad day in the annals of Islamic history, and that cannot commence the Islamic calendar, and we are only left with one option, and that is the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was at this time that it was tabled that the Islamic calendar will commence from the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And furthermore, he said the reason for this is the year that the Muslims went to Medina. This was the very year that the foundation of Masjid al-Nabawi was laid down. And this was a very big step and stride towards differentiating truth from falsehood. The second debate that then came about was that now that we commence in it from the migration. Now we need to know that the Prophet ﷺ migrated in Rabiul Awal. So if migration marks the beginning of the Islamic calendar, then rightfully so, Rabiul Awal should mark the beginning, the first month of the Islamic calendar. Because migration starts or signifies or is symbolic to the beginning, and migration took place in the month of Rabiul Awal. So this again was brought to the discussion of Sahaba, and it was debated at length, and it was finally concluded that no, Muharram. Why? Because the Quran speaks about it. Inna iddata ash-shuhuri 'inda Allahi 12 shahran fi kitabillah yawma khalaqa as-samawati wal arda minha arba'atun hurum. That from the time Allah created the skies and the earth, Allah had ordained 12 months. And we find that the pagan Arab got caught up into a very, very silly type of practice. And what was it? That when Allah created the skies and the earth, Allah had stipulated 12 months. And out of that, Allah decided that 4 will be sacred. Sacred in the sense that no form of battle will take place in these months, which namely are Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram and Rajab. Now the Arab respected the sanctity of these 4 months, but look at the manipulation that they did. So literally, if they were going to war, for example, they were in Shawwal and they had to go to war, then, and now follows Dhul Qa'dah, which is the forbidden period, then the leader of one tribe will stand up and say, listen, since we're going to war, so we actually delaying Dhul Qa'dah this year. So this year we'll be having Safar first, Dhul Qa'dah will decide later. So in this way, they shuffle the sequence of the months. They shuffled it, which the Quran speaks about it. إِنَّمَا النَّسِيءُ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ يُضَلُّ بِهِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Now the result of shuffling this sequence was that during the period of Hajj, when the Sahaba used to perform Hajj, they always used to wonder, you know, we've been shuffling these things here and been rotating these months. We consider this as the month of Hajj. Is this also Hajj in the eyes of Allah because of the change of format and sequence? So in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's final Hajj, in his final Hajj, he said, listen, inna zamana qad istadara ka hay'atihi yawma khalaqa Allahu as-samawati wal arda minha arba'atun hurum. That this thing has been turning and rotating and things have come back into the original format in which Allah has created it. So just as you consider Dhul Hijj as this to be the month of Hajj, this is also the month of Hajj in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is important, and again the scholars have written, mashallah, there are many people that print calendars and they give it to their clientele. Let me urge those people that let us also have a calendar based on Islamic dates. So when we pass it on to our Muslim clientele, I'm not saying, you know, sidestep that calendar. Let us give them both the calendars. Let us become familiar with our history. Let us understand the origin of our dates. Let us understand it all revolves around these dates. Now the other thing that I want to mention, and that is the ayat al-karima I recited in the beginning, we know another great thing that happens in the month of Muharram is the day of Ashura. And I want to latch on to this and digress onto something that is contentious in the world currently, what we see, what is happening in Denmark. We find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that amongst the virtue and the honor and the merit of the 10th of Muharram, one of the greatest and outstanding virtue is that it was the day Allah granted salvation to Musa and the Israelites from the tyranny of the tyrant Pharaoh. And as a mark of gratitude to the salvation and the deliverance, they observed the fast. Now what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? Nahnu ahaqqu bi Musa. We are closer to Musa and we respect the joy of Musa more. So I need to say, and I echo the sentiments, minds, and may Allah take it across to the world. We say to the youth of Denmark who have mocked at our Nabi, we say one thing to them. Inna kafaynaka al-mustahzi'in. I take solace from this ayah. And I present this ayah to anyone and everyone. Whoever dares challenging, mocking or laughing or ridiculing my Nabi in any way. Allah says, I will personally deal with everyone that mocks you, O Muhammad. So I take solace from this ayah. And many nasty things were said previously. And we leave it to Allah. You study the commentary of this verse. There were 5 that perpetually mocked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah gave them such a nasty death. Allah gave them such a wicked death that even their own friends didn't want to come close to their bodies. This was the outcome. So this is what the Quran says. But we also want to put on record. We want to put on record to the world. We will never insult Musa to spite the Jews. We'll never insult Jesus to spite the Christians. Our teaching teaches us respect to every prophet. That is the teachings of Islam. We believe in utmost respect. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. We don't discriminate amongst prophets. I was once flying from Perth to Sydney. And you know, whenever you're flying, people ask you the object of your travel. And then obviously you say you're a religious person, you're a priest, and it prompts questions and faith comes into the equation. On my last trip to Canada, so as I was clearing customs, he asked me, so what's your profession back home? I said, no, I'm a priest. So he says, tell me, are you the priest that gets married? I said, not to 1 to 4. My wife is listening. Allah make it easy. Anyway, what I'm saying is, I was traveling, so anyway, it prompted the question again. That man spoke of Dawood alayhi salam in such derogatory terms. Wallah, you won't speak of your gardener like that. I said, how can you talk of a prophet? He's not mine in the sense that, you know, Prophet Muhammad belongs exclusive to Islam. That's the perception. But the Quran says, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِهِ. We respect every prophet. We don't ever refer to Adam eating from the tree as a crime, as a violation, as a sin, as disobedience. We refer to it as an unintentional mistake. See what the scholars have did? That is the beauty of Islam. That is the beauty of Islam. In fact, then we are accused that is what beats me, that we are intolerable. We are accused of being intolerable. I fail to understand this logic. Islam teaches us, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Don't even swear the objects that they worship besides Allah. Because this will be hate speech. It will retaliate and it will become ugly. So respect them. كَذَلِكَ زَيَّنَّا لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ عَمَلَهُمْ. Every man is attracted by what he worships. That is the beauty of Islam. So we respect Musa alayhi salam. We respect Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَا تُفَضِّلُونِ عَلَى يُونُسُ بْنُ مَتَّى. Don't constantly say, I am more noble and superior than Yunus. Although Allah has granted me superiority. So we put on record that is the teachings. But let me leave you on a sensitive note. My brother, they have perhaps made out a cartoon which insults the Muslim. Listen, they are disbelievers, they are infidels. Maybe logically we can relate, they are capable of doing it. Let me ask you and let me ask myself. My Nabi said Monday and Thursday, he is reminded of what I do and you do. Am I not hurting him by my actions? Am I not hurting him by my actions? Why is treason such a severe crime? Because you're my citizen and you betray me. When an outsider betrays me, I don't have a problem. He never claimed to say he's loyal to my state. But you say you are me. You say you stand for me. You look through your actions, I look through my actions. And then you decide if we are not hurting him. I'm afraid our hurt is more painful. When the disbelievers say it, it's expected of them to say it. We make dua to the Almighty Allah that he inspire us with the truth. And remember, whenever the Prophet of Allah was accused, every other prophet was insulted, then the Prophet stood up and he cleared it. Ya qawmi laysa bi dalala. O my nation, you say I'm deviated, I'm afraid, your facts are muddled, I'm not deviated. But whenever the Prophet of Allah was accused or insulted, Allah said, O Muhammad, you step aside, I'll defend you through Quran. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. I swear by the skies, I swear by the stars. Don't ever accuse my Nabi of being insane, you are insane. Yasin wal Quran al Hakim, innaka lamina al mursaleen. Every accusation that was leveled against the Prophet of Allah, divinely Allah intervened and Allah proved. So his beauty stands, it will never degrade him, it will never degrade him. Allah has exalted him, it is time this ummah doesn't hurt his feelings. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.